And we'll be reading from verse 12 to 16. And if you have a red letter Bible like I happen to have in front of me right now, you'll notice that these words are in red, meaning that these have been spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the very word of the Lord, recorded by John as John saw this revelation of Christ unfolded. But Jesus himself declaring, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to eat to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, as we come before this morning, we thank you that we can worship together and gather in your presence and know that you are with us. And Lord, we draw near you today. We come to hear from you as we worship together. And quiet our hearts before your word this morning that we may hear you as you speak to us and we may be encouraged and refreshed by your word this morning. And just the hope that your word brings us. And thank you, Lord, that you are ever present now and always will be. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas is rapidly approaching. It's hard to believe it's coming on Saturday. And children growing up and kids always are counting down the days. And they just can't wait, especially when they see presents beginning to arrive. And I always like to pick them up and shake them and see if I can guess what was in there. Anybody did that? Anybody a shaker? You know, try to see if you could figure out what was in it and anticipate. Mason, you like to shake your gifts and see if you can figure out what's in them? You get excited for Christmas to come? It's always the day you're looking forward to it, right? Looking forward to the celebration of the coming of Christ. And sure, we have an anticipation, that hope. We can't wait for the day to come. And kids on Christmas Eve can never get ready to sleep. We cannot go to sleep because they're ready to run down the stairs in the morning to see what was going to be under the tree. It's just a day of anticipation and hope and excitement, looking forward to the celebration of Christmas Day. And that excitement is a part of it. It's part of the joy and the celebration of what it's all about. Israel, the nation of Israel, was looking for and had that same kind of anticipation, looking for the coming of the Messiah. God had prophesied that he would send a Messiah, a Redeemer, who was going to come and bring deliverance to the nation of Israel. And they had longed for that deliverance and that Messiah to come. For thousands of years, they had looked forward to his coming. Then Jesus, our Savior, did come, and his coming was announced to the shepherds in the town of Bethlehem. Many that day had overlooked or had not even known, take notice, when the Messiah had come. But he had come and that light had dawned. But now we as believers look forward with that same kind of anticipation to the second coming of Christ. Advent is a time when we prepare, but it's also a time of looking for the coming. As we look forward to the celebration of Christmas, we have four candles lit, getting ready to light the fifth one on Friday night. And that anticipation is building. But we have that same anticipation looking for the day that Jesus will return. And Messiah will come again and bring hope and set things right. Are you looking for that day? And what a glorious day that will be. Jesus promised that as the book of Revelation ends. He promises with his return. And as we've been going through this theme, Christmas begins with Christ. Today we come to the fourth, and that is Christ will return. And as we look at the words of Jesus himself recorded for us by John, we're going to discover five things together about the coming of Jesus and why we have hope and why we can have celebration and joy on this day. Because first, his coming is certain. And it's absolutely something we can be assured of. Just as Christmas Day, we're assured that Christmas Day is going to come on Saturday, we can be that certain that Jesus will return. Notice three times in verse 12, verse 7, and again in verse 20. Three times in these verses, Jesus Christ says, I am coming soon. Now, I want to ask you something. Would Jesus lie? Now, if he gives us his word, can we believe it? Absolutely certain that Jesus is returning again. His coming is certain, and we can look forward to that day. It's not a doubt. We don't have to be doubt of it. It is an absolute certainty and a fact. In Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, we have, as Jesus was ascending into heaven after his mission was done and after the resurrection, and he came back to life again after dying on the cross and was ascended, rose again. It says that he met with his disciples and said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father has promised that you heard me speak about. Then his disciples said, Lord, are you going to at this time bring the kingdom to Israel? Is the kingdom going to come now? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father has put in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Basically, what Jesus was saying is, I am coming. It's not for you to know when, and I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to help you live for me until that day, to be on mission for me, to be serving me faithfully until that day comes, but I am coming. Then it says in verse 10, verse 9, that after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from the sight. And they were looking up intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them and said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? Basically, they're saying, well, why are you standing there waiting? There's work to do. Jesus is coming, but be faithful living for him. And then they said, the same Jesus that was taken up from you into heaven will come back again in the same way. The certainty of Jesus that he is returning. But the return of Christ is a separate event for what we're looking for next, and that's the rapture of the church. Some people get confused and think that the return of Christ and the rapture are the same thing, but they're actually two different events. The rapture of the church takes place 7 years before Jesus returns, and we read about that in 1 Thessalonians. And in the rapture of the church is caught up to Christ. We're caught up to him. He's in the clouds, and he takes us to himself. In the return, Jesus actually comes down to earth and sets up his kingdom and reigns. In Revelation chapter 4, we're told that John had a vision where he heard a voice, come up here, and I will show you everything that will take place after this. In chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, if you remember when we studied that, it's all about the churches on earth. But then they're caught up into heaven, and the rest of the tribulation unfolds until Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus returns back on earth again, and the church comes with him. The two separate events. The rapture is a surprise. It happens in a twinkling, and only those who are ready are caught up and know about it. But when Jesus returns, everyone will know. Every eye will see. Unlike his first coming, when Jesus was born and placed in that manger in Bethlehem, there were many that night that didn't even know that the Messiah had been born. King Herod went on like life was normal. Many around, even in Bethlehem, did not even realize what was happening that night, that the Messiah of the world had come and had missed it. But when Jesus returns, everyone will know. Every eye will see him. It's a certain event that we can be assured of. Jesus says, I am coming. But the second thing we see about his return is that his coming will be sudden. Notice what he says, I am coming what? Soon. Three times he says that. I am coming soon. I am coming soon. I am coming soon. He wants us to know that. If the Lord, the scripture says, or the Lord says something once, it's important. But if the Lord repeats it a couple of times, you think that's really something he wants us to know? Three times he's repeating it here in these verses. I am coming soon. And that word soon means quickly, speedily, suddenly, meaning there's no time to prepare. So we need to prepare for the Lord's coming now, and that's what Advent is about. Advent is a time of preparation. As we make all our preparations for Christmas, it's a time for us to prepare ourselves for when the Lord returns, because on that day, there will be no chance. And he is coming quickly in an instant. And then we're prepared by having that faith and trust in him and what he's done for us on the cross, and believing and accepting his work for us and trusting him only, not in anything we can ever do, but what he's done for us. That's the whole meaning of Christmas. But in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, Jesus told a story about his coming. He said the kingdom is going to be like 10 virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom to come for the celebration of the wedding. And Jesus' return is likened to a wedding when we're going to take up for the wedding celebration. But they're waiting for the celebration to occur, and it was a long delay for the bridegroom to come for the celebration. And these virgins were waiting, and they had lamps trimmed with oil. But five of them were prepared, if you remember, and they had extra oil with them. The other five were not. And in the midst of the delay, they ran out of oil when their lamps went out. And at midnight, a cry came out and said, "The bridegroom is here. Open up the door, and those who are ready, come into the banquet." And the five that were prepared had their lamps lit. And that light, the oil is representing of the Holy Spirit, and the lamp means that light of salvation. And they were prepared. And they said, "Give us some oil so that we can have our lamps lit." And they said, "No, you have to have your own." And those that prepared were taken into the banquet, and those that were not were left behind. And that's what it is with the coming of Christ. In the script, we need to keep our lamp filled and trimmed and burning, because Jesus is coming, and we don't know when that will be. And having our lamp filled with oil, as the Holy Spirit is within us, and the light of Christ shining through us for whenever that return will be, because it will be quick, it will be sudden. Not only then, no time to prepare, but also when he returns, and his enemies will be quickly over in a battle in an instant. Satan and all the antichrists will join forces against him, but when Jesus comes back, boom, one word, and it's all done and over. And his power that he has, his coming will be sudden. But third, his coming will bring compensation. You say, what's that mean? Well, look what Jesus said, verse 12. He said, "Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me." I'm coming to bring a reward. And I read that word, and that word reward, as I looked up and studied it, that word reward means payment, wages, or compensation. And Jesus is basically saying, when I come, I'm going to give payment and reward and compensation for life on earth and how we've lived our life and the payment of what our life works deserve. There'll be rewards for the righteous. He said, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, and they will have the right to" what? The tree of life. And that word right means privilege, permission, authority, liberty. That's referring back to Genesis chapter 3. And you remember in Genesis, God created the garden and put the tree of knowledge of good and evil there, but there was also the tree of life. And after Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God said, we have to banish them from the garden, otherwise they'll eat of the tree of life in their sin, and we can't have that. And they were banished. But in the New Jerusalem, when Jesus returns, a tree of life's going to be there, and those who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, us, we will have the permission and the right to eat of the tree of life as much as we want and enjoy the presence of God. Isn't that awesome? And that's part of the reward that is ahead of us, that we can enjoy the fruit of the tree of life for all eternity with no restrictions. No, but we have that permission and that liberty and authority to eat thereof. Those who are righteous, that's the reward waiting for us. That's the payment that we will receive when Jesus returns. But the Romans tells us that the wages or the payment of sin is what? Death. And notice the reward, the other reward. He said outside of the city, outside of the heaven, outside of the relationship with Christ are the dogs and those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who practices falsehood. There's reward for the righteous, the saved, but there's retribution for the unrighteous or the lost. And when Jesus returns, that's the reward. It's coming. Those of us who know him, we're going to have a celebration, but those who don't know Christ, it's going to be a dreadful day. To fall into the hands of a holy God and to hear him say, "Depart from me, I never, ever knew you." And there'll be retribution. Outside are the dogs. And you say, why put dogs outside? You know, we don't fully understand this. And as I was studying what this meant this week, this hit me. We love dogs. And you know how much we love Cooper. We're showing pictures today of Cooper taking him yesterday to see Santa Claus, and our dogs are our life. We love dogs. And we say, why would we put the dogs outside? Why would that be a negative thing? But in Bible times and in Mideastern culture, dogs were considered very unclean. They were not people's pets. They were allowed to run everywhere without masters. They wandered at large wherever they wanted to go, and they fed on whatever they could find. They were looked down upon. They were considered unclean. And to call somebody a dog was the lowest form of insult that you could give somebody. In fact, the Jews called the Gentiles dogs. It was a low form of insult. And when we found that out, when Kim and I were in Uganda, we think we told you that story, when we were supposed to share the gospel the one day, and we were going to talk about our dog Zoe, and at that point Zoe, and her care for how she loved us unconditionally, and they said, no, dogs are considered unclean over here, don't do that, and we had to change the whole thing. So outside of the dogs are those who are considered unclean. But the reward that we have is that presence of Jesus. But when he comes, there will be compensation. Third, his coming will bring all things to completion. Jesus went on to say, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And he goes on to say, in verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The word Alpha means the letter A. It's the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Omega is the letter Z to our alphabet. It's the beginning and the ending of the Greek alphabet. To look at it in Greek, it would be like an A and a horseshoe. That would be what the capital letters of Alpha and Omega look like. But it's the first and the last letter of the alphabet. And what he was saying was Alpha, meaning he was the one. Jesus says, I am the one who brought all things into existence. I'm the one who established everything. In fact, John 1:3, we looked at that. The scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. Without him, nothing was made that was made. So Jesus is the source of everything. He brought everything into beginning. Without him, it wouldn't have existed. But he's also the Omega, meaning that he is the one who will bring everything to its determined end. He is the one who will execute and bring it, the final plan of God, to its completion. Jesus is everything in between, and it's all in his hands. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Just go back a chapter. And John says that I saw the heaven and the earth, the new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will be with them, and they will be his people. And God himself, Emmanuel, God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are testimony and true. Then he said, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who was thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he who overcomes will inherit all of this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, and those who practice magic arts, idolatry, all liars, will have their place in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, the second death. And he who overcomes will inherit all this. God's promise to us that Jesus will bring everything to his conclusion when he comes. And that's the hope that we have. Right now, it seems like things are chaotic in which in the world were we living in. But you know, God has a plan. He's leading everything to a purpose. And when he returns, it will all be brought into the right conclusion. Everything will be made right. And fifth, his coming will bring a brighter day. Don't we need a brighter day? When things are dark around us, when things are hopeless, we have the hope that someday Jesus will return and everything will be made right. We've read the end of the book. Jesus is telling us that right here. Notice what he says. I, Jesus, have sent my angel in verse 16 to give you this testimony to the churches. This is my word. You can be assured of it. I am the root and the offspring of David, the one who has part, who established the house of David, but he is also a descendant of David. But I am the bright and morning star. What did he mean by that? Well, a morning star is the first star that you see in the morning, and it's often very bright. It's the first one you see after it's really dark. And you see that bright star right before dawn. And the dark is getting, and you know that the nighttime is getting ready to pass because you see that morning star beginning to arise. And it brings you hope, knowing that the darkness is soon passing because the morning star is dawning. And that's what Jesus is saying, that I am that morning star, that someday the darkness is going to pass. And I will rise, and hope will be born, that the darkness will be gone forever, and the light of the day will shine for all eternity. His second coming, there were two day stars, or two morning stars in the history of the world. One was when Jesus came into the dark world to bring salvation. And the light dawned in that night of Bethlehem that we sang about. And that morning star appeared and brought the light of salvation into the dark world. But again, the morning star will arise in that last day and bring the light into this broken world, into this dark world, and the brighter day will dawn for all eternity. And that's a hope we had to look forward to. That's something that excites me. This week, we received a Christmas card. We received a lot of Christmas cards, but received one that really I wrote down because it fit so beautifully with the message this morning. And I wrote down what it said inside, and this is what it said. It says, this Christmas, as you consider all the awesome things you have come to through Jesus, God's perfect gift, remember that it is but a taste of all the good things that are yet to come. And that's what it's all about, is we celebrate what has happened and all that we received through Jesus in his first coming. It's but a taste of all the good things that's going to yet occur when he returns and the morning star arises with healing in his wings. And that is something to look forward to. Christ will return. And that we celebrate. It's certain. It's absolutely sure. Jesus promised it. He wouldn't give us a promise that he would not keep. It will be sudden. It will bring compensation to those of us that know him, a reward of eternity. His coming will bring everything to completion, and it will bring in a brighter day for all eternity, something to rejoice in as we celebrate today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that hope of Jesus Christ and the dawning of a new day that is awaiting us. We thank you for your first coming that brought us salvation and that relationship with you. And because of that, we know that we will be with you and we will be inside that new Jerusalem, that new heaven and earth that we will be enjoying for all eternity, and the right and the privilege to be called children of God, and the right and the privilege to eat of the tree of life forever. We thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for the hope that someday when the morning star rises with healing in his wings, we will have a brighter day dawning us, that all the darkness, all the brokenness, all the heartache, all the sickness, all that is going on around us will be past, will be no more. And we'll have that for all eternity of celebration with and worship of you. What a glorious day that will be. And Lord, that's our hope. And just as we look forward with anticipation to the celebrating of Christmas, your first coming, we look forward with that same anticipation and hope for your second coming, where we're listening for the trumpet to sound. And the morning cry, the midnight cry comes. And you say, come, all is made ready. Come enjoy the wedding feast of the Lamb. And Father, we look forward to that day. And Lord, we pray that we will be prepared and use these days that we have to share the hope that we have within us of those who don't know you. Our brothers, our people within our family and friends, Lord, that should you come this moment, and you could come at any moment, people would not be ready that we know, and they would be left to experience the retribution and the judgment that is ahead. And Father, help us to share the hope that we have of the answer that we know and the hope that we found through you. And if there's someone even here this morning that is not sure that you would come today, that they're ready and prepared for that, may they make that decision even now. That we have that assurance that we know and absolutely know that we will be with you for all eternity. And Father, thank you for that hope. Through Christ our Lord, in his name we pray. Amen.